Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, talk to me about immigration. New York State Legislature just said we're not going to have a DREAM Act of the Republicans in the Senate. But I want to take it to Washington. Mm-hmm. Have the Republicans learned nothing after the election in which we looked at numbers and we saw that Hispanics had deserted them in huge numbers?
Right. It seems as though they're ignoring those political trends, but I think this one in substance, generally, they're missing the boat. I know when I talk to the technical community, the talent that they need, we're woefully underproducing engineers and scientists as a society. And so people who are here on temporary authorization require a sound pathway to citizenship. That's good for business. It's good for industry. It's good for our innovation economy. You talk to the farming community. The New York State Farm Bureau will tell you immigration is one of its immigration reform is one of its highest priorities. Again, you know, our farming community would be at a loss if they did not have migrant workers to assist. The same is true with the medical community. We have interacted with several groups out there, health institutions, healthcare institutions, who have said, if there's any way you can help with a visa or whatever, you know, the medical community, again, needing that sort of assistance. You talk to the faith community, and they believe that the moral responsibility here is to do all we can to keep families together. So the American spirit, the morally just thing, the economically wise thing to do here is immigration reform, providing the 12 million undocumented immigrants a pathway, a sound pathway to citizenship, and provide for a long-needed reform where I think we have, again, gutted the naturalization agency and not enabled it to do its job. And remember that we are a nation of immigrants by definition.
Now, John Boehner, the speaker, announced that he was going to do something this year. Then clearly, with political pressure going on, he decided not to do it.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say that speaks to your earlier comment that they saw the alarm. They heard the alarm going off. They responded in the heat of the last election. But then I think it's the same paralysis that governs most of the issues and the decisions in that Republican majority in the House. The tail wagging the dog, the minority within the majority, the Tea Party thinkers, the far right extreme thinkers are really ruling, setting the tone and ruling the day in the majority decisions. And when they decided they don't want immigration reform, it's a condescending statement, and it's one that, again, is un-American. It denies our roots and doesn't understand that there's an economic benefit here. You know, the Senate, the United States Senate, came forward with a bipartisan package that met with approval, overwhelming approval, I believe 68 to 32 or something in that realm, overwhelming approval. So they kind of set the framework for the potential bill. Send it over our way, and, you know, we've got many sponsors onto the House version, which is very similar to the Senate version, and they simply won't bring it to the floor.
This business about bringing it to the floor is so important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That if you had a vote, it would pass.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the leadership, the Republican Party, knows that. Mm-hmm. And so if it were going to fail, they'd bring it to the floor and say, hey, we tried. This, you know, and here's a group that constantly states that we want to reduce the deficit, the budget deficit. Well, when the United States Senate version, the reform measure, the bipartisan effort was scored, it was at about an $875 billion benefit, nearly $1 trillion worth of reduction in the deficit. So if you really are for deficit reduction, stand up and do something. And what a great way to resolve an issue, to provide a solution, doing it in a way that grows jobs, builds the community, rather than cut your way to prosperity, which is causing more hardship and economic unraveling. So we have a way to address the deficit and be fair and morally sound and American-driven in our spirit to do immigration reform.
I don't want to get your hair any whiter than it is, but
I don't think you could.
But I do want to ask you this question, Paul Tanco, and that is, there is a sense among some people, pundits like Chris Matthews and others, who think that the Senate, as well as the House, will go Republican in the next election.
Right.
If that happens, I know that you're an eternal optimist. It's one of the things I love about you. You're always assuring me that things that are going to happen aren't going to happen. But let's assume for a second that it does happen. Is this a disaster?
If the Senate were to turn Republican and the House stay Republican, I think it would be very difficult for the nation to absorb. You know, you have people that refuse to make progressive the tax policy. There's a need for tax reform, closing loopholes, making the income tax more progressive, looking at shared responsibility here that is truly just. I think you'll see this continuation, perhaps on steroids, of cutting our way to tomorrow rather than investing our way. We're in the midst of an innovation economy. While other nations, and I always talk to the history that many of us visited or lived in the 60s when we were in a global race on space. But it was only two nations, U.S. and USSR. We heard it repeatedly. The Sputnik moment charged the whole race. We won that. We were determined. We resolved to do it with passion, and we came together as a nation. Now it's a similar replay, but instead of two nations, it's dozens of nations, and many of them many of our competitor nations are bulking up with education, higher education, research. We're content to cut that. And I think if you have this sort of double dose of Republican leadership on the Hill in both houses of Congress, you will see that effort become very strong. And I think that is not what America needs. She requires investment in research, infrastructure, education. Those are the underpinnings of support that will take us competitively and victoriously through an innovation economy, an innovation race. Whoever wins this global race on innovation will become the kingpin of the international economy. Why would we want to skip a beat here? Why would we want to go backward? Standing still puts you in a backward mode. So what I saw through the last two terms was regrettable. After witnessing a first term in Congress that was all about investing in tomorrow, innovation in science and tech, a stimulus package that gave more energy reform money than ever in the history of the House, I thought that was the formula for success. And if anything, we failed to go deeply enough with that investment.
Paul Tanco, as always, thank you for being here in the studio with us. We always love it when you come by. We have a chance to kid around a little bit, but also you have a remarkable grasp on some of the most important issues of the day. We thank you for being here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to stop by.